Boris Johnson should be kicked out of the Conservative Party for his remarks about the burqa. According to the Muslim peer Lord Sheikh, Mr. Johnson said Muslim women wearing burqas look like letterboxes and compared them to bank robbers. A source has said that he is standing by his comments. This is a very important story, isn't it? You'll see it all over the news cycle. The Prime Minister has backed calls for him to apologise. Labour Party member Phil Kelly's with us this morning. Good morning to you, Phil.
Good morning.
Good morning. As obviously are you, Andrew. So let's get serious now. What's Boris at, Andrew?
Look, he's done what he wanted. It's a quiet August week. The steam is beginning to fall out, come out of the Labour row over anti-Semitism, which I would argue is much more serious. And he's written in a column, which was in a defence, actually. It was from a Liberal position of women who... their right to wear the burqa, their right to wear the niqab. He said he supports their right to do that, unlike some EU countries such as Denmark and Belgium, who banned the niqab. And then, he threw in two incendiary lines, which he knew would be picked up by the likes of you and me and the BBC and others, to use terms of abuse. Look, it's wrong. It's the wrong sort of language he's used. I think it is offensive, but he is... triggered a big and important debate, I think, about the role of Muslim women and whether they are wearing these burqas and niqabs because they really want to or because they're feeling subjugated into wearing them by their menfolk, because it certainly doesn't tell them to do that in the Quran.
And we'll get into that in a second with you, Phil, but politically, Andrew, why is he doing it now? And clearly this rebuke from the Prime Minister, where does that go next between the two of them?
Well, look, it's not exactly it's an open secret that relations between the Prime Minister and the Foreign Secretary were pretty bad when they were in Cabinet. They're even worse now because, of course, she knows he's on the backbenches. He is on manoeuvres, as we say in the trade. In other words, he's biding his time for when he strikes. He will inevitably, in my view, be involved in some form of leadership challenge against Mrs. May, probably within the next 6 to 8 months. So she is slapping down one of her biggest potential rivals for her job in the hope that it will damage him. But actually, I think a lot of Tory MPs will think it's typical Boris. He's used careless language. Is it careless or was it deliberate? I suspect it was more deliberate than careless. But he's at the centre of attention, and there's a huge debate now about the burqa. Most Muslim women don't wear the burqa and niqab. The battle has begun, the debate has begun, and that's what he wants to be. And he wants to be in the thick of the argument because he wants to tell people, I'm roving now, I'm on the back benches, and there's more to life than Brexit.
1 second, Phil. Mervyn in Hollywood's called us, 030-30-80-55-55. Morning, Mervyn.
Good morning, Stephen. I have no problem at all with Boris Johnson says. I mean, after all, we live in a free country.
The religious dress that some women in this country choose to wear, comparing them to bank robbers, you have no problem with that?
Not at all. Not at all. I'll tell you what. He's only saying out loud what millions of people think anyway and don't want to say. It's as simple as that. What he's saying is what the country thinks. If you go through Wolverhampton South or Northampton or anywhere like that and see them people dressed every day and they hate... It was a fortnight ago I was there, walking about fully black, and it's like something out of Doctor Who.
Well, that's just being offensive to those people who cherish their religious dress, and it's very important to them, isn't it?
Well, I was on LBC last night about this too. The English...
Are you moonlighting?
What?
Are you moonlighting?
I'm on LBC. I work there too.
I know you do, Andrew, I know.
Good man.
Look, the English, the Irish, the Scottish and the Welsh, especially the English nation, have bent over backwards for the Muslim community, bent over backwards for them, to accept them, to help them, to jobs and the benefits. And what do they get? Every time they're criticised, they come out crying. They can't take it.
Well, these sweeping statements, they do this and they do that. Phil Kelly?
Well, I mean, Andrew is half right in the sense that this latest outburst from Boris Johnson is all about Boris Johnson and his own personal ambition. He's wrong in the sense that it is never about sparking a debate about the burqa or wider oppression or subjugation of women. I mean, Boris Johnson is a ridiculous figure who masquerades as a blundering buffoon, probably to conceal the fact that he actually is a blundering buffoon. And, Stephen, he's a long list of these kind of statements. If you remember, he once said of Barack Obama that he wasn't all American, he was part Kenyan with an ancestral dislike of the British Empire. And if he also wrote in a Telegraph column that the Queen loved touring the Commonwealth because she would be greeted by cheering crowds of flag-waving pickaninnies. And he also described Africans as having watermelon smiles. He's a man who dips into lurid racism. And it's really playing to the gallery. I suppose it's a product of the English class system, which is soaked in racism and also the entitlement of idiots.
The English classism soaked in racism? Where are you getting that from?
Well, I mean, the English class system is, you only need to look at the deep roots of slavery in the British Empire to see where that sort of stems through, right through to the modern day. But I would say this, it's worrying in the sense that these are not just, the recent comments are not just a long line of sort of buffoonish comments that he's made, but he had a secret meeting with Steve Bannon, who was the power behind Donald Trump's throne. And he seems to be positioning himself, as Andrew has said, for a tilt at the Conservative Party leadership, but by playing to the kind of Katie Hopkins alt-right crowd. And that's exceedingly dangerous because we've seen a rise of hate crime
Andrew?
In England.
I hear what he says about Steve Bannon, and he did meet Steve Bannon. And, of course, while I don't agree with Steve Bannon and his politics, and he's one of the more unpleasant aspects of Donald Trump, he did help Donald Trump get into the White House. So I imagine Boris Johnson was trying to pick his brains for some keys to how to win a general election, because Mrs. May's not very good at that, is she? But I'd say if he was taking advice from Donald Bannon on race and hard immigration, he would be saying, he would be going down the Belgian route, he'd be going down the Danish route, he'd be saying we should ban the burqa, because that would get a great cheer from many, particularly working class Labour voters, UKIP voters, that would go down probably incredibly well. I wouldn't agree with him if he said that, because I defend the right of women to wear the burqa, although I do think it is a symbol of their oppression. But so Boris could have done all that, but if you take away those words about the looking like bank robbers and looking like letterboxes, it's actually a very liberal article in defence of women's right to choose.
But sorry, Andrew, if you look at the history of Boris Johnson, and this is a man...
No, look at that article I'm talking about, Phil.
But what I'm talking about is, who's a history of making racist statements, but he also has a history of making misogynistic statements. I mean, in the Telegraph in 1996, he described the Labour Party conference as being full of top toddy and described the attraction of Labour to women as being due to the fickleness of the female sex. He used to write articles about cars in GQ magazine, and he described cars as babe magnets. In 2012, he spoke of the beach volleyball event as saying it was wonderful to see semi-naked women glistening like wet otters. This is a guy who has no interest in tackling misogyny or patriarchy in any of its forms. He is an entitled buffoon who's completely consumed by his own personal ambition and will get into bed with the likes of Steve Bannon to try and navigate a route to what...
Let's see what Billy in Belfast thinks. Morning, Billy.
Ah, good morning, Stephen. Stephen, I think Johnson used the wrong language, but I think in principle the majority of people who live in the UK and are of non-immigrants that have come in the last 40-odd years would agree with basically what he's saying, because you can't identify people with all the CCTV cameras and stuff in shopping centres if they commit a crime. And at least two Muslim terrorists, and I mean this is what you're on the BBC, have escaped out of the country dressed as women because they were of a slight build, using it. But you would do the Muslim female population a far better service if you tackled the subject of FGM, which is widespread among many Muslim countries, and especially still
female
carried on.
Female genital mutilation you're talking about.
Of course. I've actually seen it, it's a long story, but I actually had a go into the desert with a patrol and left a young lady out whose life would have died from it. But anyway, that's another long, complicated story. So
I still think Johnson is tapped into something here, because you can tell this from your callers, Stephen, because remember Jack Straw many years ago, the former Labour Home Secretary in the list, the MP for Blackburn, which has a huge, huge Muslim population. He wrote an article saying he insists that any woman who came into his surgery removed the veil. He didn't think the veil should ever be in a classroom, in a court, because it's this whole thing about you need facial recognition, you know, to look into people's eyes. This is all important stuff, and I think it's an important debate. And I think the Muslim community probably welcomed the debate too, and should. Again, I make the point, I think Boris used the wrong language, but if he hadn't used that language, we wouldn't be discussing this right now.
Well, Andrew, maybe the key here is that debate is best not led into tackling, you know, religious discrimination or oppression or old traditions to liberate people. That debate probably isn't best led by a product of the English class.
He didn't
like
have to
Johnson.
Use language like bank robbers and look like letterboxes if he wanted to have a genuine debate. He knew what the reaction with this
exactly.
would be.
But you see, Stephen, if he just stuck to that article, Boris Johnson is restating a position I knew he'd held before, that he doesn't agree with the ban on the burqa in some EU countries. So I don't think the article would have been picked up, but by using inflammatory language, it has been picked up. It's dominating, it's leading the BBC News agenda, and people are saying, yeah, all right, he might have used the wrong language, but actually I agree with a lot of what he says. A lot
people are focusing on his remarks.
Offensive and oppressive.
Andrew, aren't they? They're focusing on his remarks and not the debate.
Exactly. Yeah, but you see, but then when you're in a phone-in like yours, people are calling in saying, but actually when you go beyond the remarks, I agree with what he said.
John in Belfast. Morning, John.
I was just wondering, Boris, you know, you're a previous caller on there talking about genital mutilation. Would he contend the Jewish people for that? Because young boys are circumcised
It's completely different.
I know it's completely different.
It's completely different.
I understand that, but I mean, that was the point that he was making, and you, I think you also brought it up too. But anyway, would Boris Johnson, would he prevent a young Catholic child from wearing a First Communion dress? Would he ask a young English girl not to wear a mini dress? No, he wouldn't, because he wouldn't be allowed to. So why is he allowed to condemn someone because they want to wear a burqa?
Yeah, but he's not
condemning... their religion, it's entitled to take the dress any way they want.
Hang on. Listen, he's not condemning them. He's saying he thinks they look silly, but he's not condemning them.
Well, that's just, I mean,
absolutely supports their right to wear them. That is quite different.
There are plenty of people.
That's completely ridiculous.
There are plenty of people go out who look ridiculous in their dress, and nobody condemns them, and nobody's entitled to condemn them. If those people want to wear a burqa, then it's their choice and no one else's.
And that's what he says. Read the article.
That's what he says.
He says it loud and clear.
The important point...
Why bring it up? Then there's plenty of people out there who rob banks and don't wear burqas. There's plenty of people who leave the country after committing a crime and they don't wear burqas. You know, so, I mean, his argument doesn't stack up. I'm perfectly honest. He was having a dig at them, so he was, and that was it.
Do that.
Thank you, sir.
Great
nice to talk to you.
Anytime.
Phil Kelly, thank you.